This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Wednesday evening, where we will start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't interact with human beings.
And to Don.
You're high right now, right? You have to be.
And to Don again.
You're smoking bowls, man. You're smoking out of an apple.
And good evening also to Edith.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, that made my day, Peter.
Well, there were two things that made me really happy about hearing from Edith. Number one, it's just hearing from Edith.
Yes.
Number two is that I could tell Michael was probably ready to move to a baseball call, but you know there's no chance he's moving past Edith, who did a full roll call.
Yeah, she's a lot.
So we just have to acknowledge up front, your rules, people, are not the same as Edith.
Nope.
She gets special treatment, and she deserves it. And Don, I rewatched the video of the ill-fated high five.
Right.
I got to just say, it really speaks to sort of the commitment you have to everything. How long you held on for. Andrew, at what point when you watch that video, do you say, okay, he's going to give up here, and then he just keeps going?
Well, it's hard because I only ever see it in slow motion, so I feel like time is different. But there's a point where it's up at a probably, you know, mid-chest height for him. And yep. Then he brings it down to, like, his stomach. And I always think that it's going to just keep going and it's going to be over. But he leaves it there for, like, a second go-round.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody reads the room like I do.
Right.
So I know at this point, it's on camera. You guys are going to see it and it's going to become a thing. I have to wait it out because then it won't be a thing once she notices and high-fives me.
Right.
So I can't give up. I'm just going to wait it out. And it ended up being a mistake because it became even more of a thing because I waited it out and she never did it. But I knew, like a half a second into that this was going to become a thing.
Now, the question is, when do you think the last time, do we remember how old Edith is?
I think she's, I don't want to insult her.
Around 90?
I believe she's in her 80s.
So when do you think the last time she received a high five was, is the question.
Maybe never.
She may have never received one.
I don't know what circle she runs in. I mean, the high five has been a thing, what, since the 70s?
Feel like that. 80s, it probably really got going.
Caught and let's fire. Face it, that would put Edith somewhere probably in her mid-30s when the high five became a thing. And back in the 70s, at 35, you were an old person by then, right? I mean, you didn't do the stuff the kids did.
That's a great point.
You know, she already probably had the family, and so it wasn't a thing. You know, and even back then, it was more a sports thing, and then it kind of evolved as a greeting and all that. So,
and I mean, in movies in the 70s, if you were 35, you were playing a grandfather on screen.
It is. We've had this conversation before. It's crazy.
Do you know what? You know what got me this weekend, Don?
What was that?
When I was indulging in City Slickers, and City Slickers 2, and City Slickers 1 starts. You know, it's Billy Crystal's birthday.
I know.
You know what birthday it is for him?
35.
39.
Although, was it 39?
39.
His mom actually sings him happy birthday.
Right. His mom calls, and he's like, it's his third. And I'm looking at Billy Crystal, and I looked it up. He was 39 in the movie. In real life, he was like, you know, 42, something like that.
Right.
But still, I can't believe, I can't believe that makes him a guy in his 70s right now.
When are we having him on? Aren't we having him on for the anniversary of 61?
Yeah, we are. I don't know the date, but I'm looking forward to it. Well, we have learned more about the Tiger Woods crash. Let's hear from L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva with a Tiger Woods crash update.
The primary causal factor for this traffic collision was driving at a speed unsafe for the road conditions and the inability to negotiate the curve of the roadway. Estimated speeds at the first area of impact were 84 to 87 miles per hour, and the final estimated speed when the vehicle struck the tree was 75 miles per hour. There were no citations issued, and there are no signs of impairment. Primary concern, once we obviously at the scene of the collision, was his safety. And this is where you have to switch gears and make sure the person can survive and he receives the medical care they need. And the fire department, paramedics, and that's why he was taken to a trauma center, because he obviously had a compound fracture to a leg and it was life-threatening injuries.
So there you have it. That is a high rate of speed. And can you imagine, Don, if you're going that speed and then the road curves?
No.
Impossible. I mean, it's like you're playing a video game at that point. I mean, unless you're Mario Andretti, how do you take that turn? It's impossible.
Well, the car's not equipped to do it either. You know, we're not talking about a machine like an open wheel where it's actually supposed to stay to the ground. Think of all those cars loaded to ground, hairpin turns. They're designed to do that. Not like an everyday passenger vehicle. I mean, he's really, really lucky to be alive, A. And also, you know, 1A, lucky that there wasn't, like, somebody on the road walking their dog or a disabled car on the side of the road or just another car driving in the opposite direction where somebody doing the legal speed limit, minding their own business, ends up getting killed.
But just, you're right, Don, the fact that he was able to live, given that he hit the tree at 75 miles an hour, man.
He had to have had a seatbelt on, I would think.
He did. He didn't
know
that.
So that saved his life, no question.
All right, and more updates on Deshaun Watson. Nike has suspended their deal with Watson amid the sexual assault and inappropriate behavior allegations that have been made. They released a statement on Wednesday. "We are deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We will continue to closely monitor the situation." Meanwhile, Beats by Dre is ending their deal with Watson, according to ESPN. 22 women have filed lawsuits over the past month.
Now, I've heard some criticism. Like, why can't you wait it out? Why do you got to drop him? Why do you got to suspend him? Well, first of all, suspending him to me is a no-brainer, right? Didn't drop him, but you're gonna hit pause and wait and see how this is all going to play itself out, because if it turns out he did do it, you want to get out before that announcement. And if it turns out it's all just a misunderstanding, then you unpause. Beats by Dre dropping him, maybe, is that a little excessive? Or is it just, hey, I'm sorry, we're paying him for publicity. We don't need this negative publicity. I could see it. I could see both. But sitting there and just standing by him, I think, would be asking too much of a company.
And it's a different kind of deal for Nike and an athlete, and Beats by Dre and an athlete. And they probably just felt at this point the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
No, absolutely.
Staying in the fire for a guy who, let's be honest, Beats by Dre has iconic musicians and athletes they have deals with. They really don't need to do that.
And I'm sure it wasn't that lucrative a deal, you know, like you said, because he's not a musician, he's not an artist, he's a football player who probably just likes them and probably, you know, They probably had a deal with him, not anywhere, I would think, not as lucrative as Nike, where he's wearing their shoes as a professional athlete.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, if you are late to the program, Aaron Judge has been held out of the starting lineup tonight against the Orioles with what Aaron Boone called general soreness in his left side. Do we have the Aaron Boone audio, Anthony? We'll fire that up for you in a second, but he is out, according to the manager. Here's Aaron Boone.
Was sore yesterday during the game, kind of in his side, and then after the game was sore. So just with the off day tomorrow, just something trying to stay ahead of and don't want to push through anything right now.
When you say sore in his side, what side exactly, what happened to lead to that soreness?
I think it's just been just the general wear and tear of the first several days, you know, DH in one day, a lot of swings. So yeah, just that.
And by side, do you mean oblique?
No, I think it's just, as I would say, general soreness, I guess, in the side.
Now, general soreness is only rivaled by one of the mascots for the Somerset Patriots, Peter, General Admission.
Love General Admission.
Both very, very high-ranking generals in sports.
All pale to the only general I recognize, General So.
That's right. That's right.
It's the only – that's a general.
You know what? It's so important. And sesame chicken is exactly the same thing, just with sesame seeds. Is that if you're on the fence for dinner and somebody just throws that out, you're not on the fence anymore. That's what you're now getting. That's how good it is.
I got to tell you, I have a real issue with both the general and sesame chicken. And that issue is the following, Don. Chinese, when you're ordering Chinese food, like Chinese American food that we all enjoy partaking in, you recognize you're not getting the healthiest of meals.
Sure.
But there are levels to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could get a cashew chicken, a chicken with peanuts, chicken with broccoli, beef and broccoli, Szechuan string beans, you know, so many different things you can get. When I take that leap to sesame chicken or the general, I now know that I am going to completely polish off an entire plate of not only the rice and the sauce, but the fried dough around the chicken. And I can't resist it. Once it's there, I'm eating.
Well, maybe instead of going with the pork fried rice or beef fried rice, maybe you go with just a brown rice or a white rice.
Well, I already don't do. I never do a pork fried rice or a chicken fried rice. So hold on real quick. Just for those keeping track at home, Don. So you're saying you would normally get a fried rice in addition to the general.
The Don LaGreca at the Christmas party trying to high-five Edith would. Don LaGreca today would not.
What would Don LaGreca today do?
Maybe
a brown rice, just a white rice.
Yeah.
This is all important stuff. Don and I are starting a podcast about Chinese food. It's going to be on the LaGreca channel coming soon. We break down every single item on the Chinese menu. By the way, that's an interesting menu to think about when we talk about Michael going back, like becoming a new person and eating real food. I mean, what do you think he's ever even eaten at a Chinese restaurant? He's probably never had anything.
It's so true.
I wonder what he's had. Andrew, I'm sorry. We'll move on to sports in a second. Andrew, what's your go-to dish at Chinese?
General So's also. Yeah. Sesame chicken. Yeah. Any kind of lo mein.
What about sweet and sour chicken?
Yeah, that too. Sure.
Got to be in the mood for it. But that is good.
Brady was on Good Morning America. And he says that he realized that the Patriot way wasn't the only way. He said, wow, there's another way people do things. And he went on to talk about a bunch of things regarding his career, including if he still has something left to prove.
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral. You know what I mean? Also about football. Once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me. Not a lot. And I know that. But what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
What's your prediction for Brady? Is there another Super Bowl appearance left?
No.
That's it. You're calling it. That's breaking news.
I don't think it's breaking news. I mean, he's another year older. And let's not forget, that's a team that had to win all their games on the road. That's tough to do. Now, they're bringing the entire team back. I get that. But that, you know, Gronk another year older, Brown another year older, Brady another year older. It's hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls. And as each year goes by, it becomes harder and harder for him because of his age. No, I think that'll be it. I think he'll be good next year. Maybe a playoff team. But if I had to bet, I'd say playoffs, one and done.
Kevin Durant is back tonight against the Pelicans.
Oh, yes. Had a whole him walking into the building.
Oh, yeah. Saw him show up. Decent outfit. Nothing crazy. KD has missed the last 23 games after that hamstring strain on February 13th. He's only played 7 games with Kyrie and James Harden. Of course, since he last played, he now has Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge also as teammates. Here's our own Malika Andrews on with Barton Hahn on what we can expect from Kevin Durant.
I would expect Kevin Durant to start for Brooklyn, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him on a minutes restriction just based on how the Nets have been so cautious about bringing guys back, especially those who've had long layoffs. Now, Steve Nash did not talk this morning at shoot-around, but Kevin Durant's teammate Bruce Brown says that Kevin Durant looks like the same old Kevin. I saw him shooting and working out a little bit on Monday, and he looked great. But I still think the Nets are going to err on the side of caution here. So you're probably not going to see the 35, 40-minute Durant in his first outing here.
That makes sense.
Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see what we get out of the big three as we get closer to the playoffs. There's not a whole lot of season left yet to see how these guys gel. And then also there's the question of what level do they have to even gel at to make a finals run?
I think they could make the finals with just two of the three.
I think they could win the finals with just two of the three.
Here's the... Which two of the three? Does it make a difference to you? Because as good as Durant is at this point, because what I've seen from Harden, I think I'd rather have Harden and Kyrie than no Harden.
I know.
Do you think they're better Harden-Kyrie or Durant and Kyrie? Considering Durant's physical situation.
See, this is what speaks to the argument, Don, that they are the most talented trio of all time. It's borderline impossible to pick which two you'd want.
I mean, let's not forget what Harden has done with Durant out. MVP worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Durant wouldn't have done the same thing, but let's not forget. If Durant never got hurt this year, he'd still be on restrictions from what happened last season.
I'm not sure
he would be given the chance to play the minutes and the consecutive games that Harden did. And look, Harden couldn't do it, right? Because Harden ended up getting himself hurt, I think, from carrying the team for as long as he had to do it. So considering Durant's situation, I think I'd rather have Harden Kyrie. Your thoughts?
It's very hard for me to say. I mean, the interesting thing is it's almost like they'd be a more different team now, going back just to the original Kyrie and KD, just because Harden has picked up so much of the point guard duty.
Yep.
So that it changes Kyrie's role. Like, I like Kyrie more in the role of second guy to Harden. So it's... Andrew, do you have a take on this? It's so hard on who to pick as if you had to pick two of the three to be ready for the playoffs.
No, it's extremely tough. So I guess in the event of like trying to break the tie, I would just simply go with, okay, how do I rank these guys? And so for me, right now I think Harden is number one. Durant is still, I think, remember what we thought of him before he got hurt. He was still clearly a top 10 player in the NBA. And Kyrie's close, but I don't know that I put him above those two. So I would just go with the two that I think are best, which is Harden and Durant.
And this isn't a knock on Durant, but would Durant be compelled to kind of take over the way Harden did? Because Harden almost seemed like he really just took pride in, I want to carry this team. Or Durant, would he kind of play it safe? And there'd be certain nights where he's like, listen, I'm coming off the injury. I'm not going to go crazy here. Tough call.
Moving along to baseball, Don.
Sure.
Got a lot of frustrated Yankees fans today, finding out, of course, that Aaron Judge is out tonight against the Orioles with soreness. Well, imagine being a Blue Jays fan right now. George Springer dealing with another issue while waiting to make his Blue Jay debut. He started off on the IL because of a strained left oblique muscle, and he was on track to play tomorrow in the Blue Jays' first home game. But now he's felt tightness in his right quad while running the bases. So we shall see. He signed a six-year, $150 million contract during the offseason. He is not the only big-time star dealing with a major injury situation. Fernando Tatis went down in just really scary fashion the other night after a hard swing at the plate, just fell to the ground in pain. He suffered a shoulder subluxation, which is a partial dislocation of the joint. The exam showed a slight labrum tear, but the injury is supposedly non-surgical. So he's currently on the 10-day, and Padres fans can be hopeful that Tatis can get back soon and that surgery can wait. Tatis is 22 years old. He's a kid. He just signed a monster deal to play until he's 100 with the Padres. And he struggled a bit through the first five games until collapsing, batting 167, committing five errors. He did have one monster home run Sunday against the Diamondbacks. Of course, he just signed the longest contract in big league history, 14 years, $340 million. A hold my beer, George Springer sort of situation for the Padres.
Now Machado, who's also a Padre.
I mean, and what about my Tatis Jr. rookie card? That's a major concern here, am I right?
Well, listen, even if it's a significant enough injury to cause problems this year, I'm not saying that the contract's bad. He's 22 years old. But he doesn't need surgery. But just these guys swing so hard and produce so much torque. Don't you think that's probably what the situation is with Judge?
Well, yeah, especially given where the injury is. It's not like anything happened in the field yet that makes you think it was caused by, you know, like his injury when he was diving for a ball a few years ago. This is clearly coming from the way he swings the bat.
Yeah, because that's the whole launch angle and trying to pull everything and just hit it as hard as you can.
In news that surprises no one, the Masters chairman, Fred Ridley, says he's all about people being able to have the right to vote, not have that right interfered with, but would not go as far as condemning the Georgia voting law that, of course, led to Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game from Atlanta. Not shocked to see the Masters not willing to take that same political stance. Disappointing, not surprising. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday, April the 7th.
All right, you got a lot of sports. Mets are playing right now. They're getting crushed 7-1. Yankees are coming up in a couple of minutes on Yes. You could see that. Knicks playing the Celtics. That's a big game for the Knicks. Nets and Pelicans with the return of Kevin Durant. And guess what, Peter? We're going to talk about all of it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And
beyond. Oh, okay.
Between 2 and 6:30 tomorrow. The Big Fellas up next. Then it's Knicks basketball right here on 98.7 ESPN New York.
You're smoking bowls, man. You're smoking out of an apple.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.